I'm your prince, I go yoga, you go gym. I'm your pain and you're my wings. And we can fly so far, long time since we ain't speak. We ain't bridges, we go deep. Long time since I swept you off your feet, girl, what? I ain't got the answers. And if I did, girl, I would share the answers. And if you come back, I won't let my chance slip. Plus I'm on my new shit, yeah. Paranoid, running through the night. I wanna fuck, don't wanna fight. I take it back when you cry. I take it back when we fight. I
this time is that time is that time is white lies and white lines. It's white lies and white lines. It's this time is that time is that time is white lies. White lines, it's white lies and white lines.
You're here with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And for the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path. It's good to be back. If you have any questions or you need some answers, you can call in at 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. Here, deep in the woods, it's still dark outside. This is probably my favorite time of the year for so many reasons, and we'll get into some of those a little bit later. So if you've never listened to the show before, what we like to do here is we like to talk a little bit about some local news. We like to talk about some national news. We talk about some news from south of the border and also some global news. But we touch on a lot of weird stuff, a lot of things that I think that people should know, a lot of things that you will be happy that you know, especially going into the weekend. I know that it's the time of the year where people call cuffing season. You know, it is getting a little chilly outside. We just had Thanksgiving, then there's Halloween. You know, we have November long, we have Christmas coming up. So it's the time when people have parties and nobody wants to go alone to the party, especially when you're just trying to get warmed up a little bit. But if you're listening to this while you're getting ready, for work, while you're at work, maybe at a job that you just need a hour break from, or you're in the shower, or, you know, cooking breakfast. You know, I thank you for tuning in, and we got a lot for you today. You know, here we like to start off a little bit with the weather, just to give people an idea of what they can expect for the week and the weekend here in BC. And if you're listening from outside of BC, you can particularly be jealous, especially because normally fall is not that exciting. It's not a place where you can be jealous. However, this week has been particularly nice. See, I just got back from Mexico, so sorry, listeners, I was not on last week. We played the week's before episode, but it was so nice. You had to hear it twice. But this week has been particularly sweet for a October week here in Vancouver. No rain. It hasn't rained all week. So sunny and nice, around 16 it has been all week. And that is not going to change today or tomorrow, or for particularly for the next few days. So today we have a partly cloudy day at 15. Tomorrow, partly cloudy at 14. Saturday, sunny and 16. And it should be very low chances of rain until October 18th, the Thursday, where it just goes up to 20%. But, you know, here in Vancouver, any of that can change, particularly at any moment. I say yesterday was probably one of the most humbling experiences I've had in a while, because I, if you don't know me personally, what I like to do is hike on sunny days, and I'm fortunate to be on vacation, but yet still get up in the morning to come talk to you people. But yesterday I got up and went for a hike, and one of the most humbling situations that you can be in is starting a hike a little late, and you don't actually realize that you started a hike late until you are a few hours deep in the hike, trying to balance and, you know, think about what turning around means and what does it mean to get to the top. So yesterday I went to the Sunshine Coast with the intentions of going to Keats Island, because I saw a hike in the Best of Vancouver that was listed as a day hike, and it was pretty nice. It was only about 45 minutes to the peak of Keats Island, but through improper planning, it just didn't work out. So when I got to the Sunshine Coast, to Langdale Ferry, I guess in the middle of the day, because the Keats Island Ferry is more of a ferry for school children, so it stops in the middle of the day for 3 hours. So I got there around noon, and it didn't start until 3:45. So I had to make alternative arrangements. There are a few hikes that you can walk to from the ferry terminal. So I chose Mount Elphinstone because I saw this blogger had done it in 2.5 hours. Now, since like my limited cell service, what I didn't really realize was that this guy was an ultra marathon runner, meaning he runs 100 miles of races. So we didn't have the same experience. So as I started on the hike, it was around 1 o'clock until I got to the summit trailhead, and then I take it up. And so around, I give myself to 4 o'clock. I say, if I don't make it to the top at 4 o'clock, I need to turn around, because from fear it's going to get dark. And so when I got about three quarters of the way up, and it was 4 o'clock. So making this decision, well, I was making really good time. You know, I probably could have got to the top around 4:30, or maybe a little after that. But you have to make a decision when you're on these hikes. One, because it's dangerous on the way down, and two, you know, who just wants to be stuck at the top of Mount Elphinstone with no cell service and just a few nuts? There wasn't even any water. So I decided to turn back around. And it's really one of the most physical examples of what a sunk cost is, because it doesn't really matter how far that you've come, because you need to go back because it's dangerous. And I say it's humbling because really the only reason you don't make it to the top is because you didn't prepare properly. And so preparing properly means having the necessary equipment just in case you get stuck at the top, but also making sure that you give yourself enough time so that you can get to the top restfully. And so all I have to show for today is like very sore legs. So if you see me in the streets, please do not like push me over. I don't know how I'm going to coach football tonight because I can barely walk. But I am determined to make sure that the next time I get to the top of Mount Elphinstone. This has happened to me twice, so it sucks. But it was nice. It was a nice hike otherwise. You don't have to. Also, what I learned, you don't always have to get to the top to realize that, you know, just going for a hike is beautiful. There's so many things that I thought about, so many things went on. And before we get into the news here in Vancouver, what I would like to talk about is things that are going on. This is probably my two favorite weeks. So last week I was in Mexico, which missed the beginning of my favorite week, which is the Vancouver International Film Festival. There's so many good films. The other day I saw Sophia, a story about a woman in Morocco, and in Morocco it's illegal to have a baby out of wedlock, and so just what that meant for her family, what that meant for the individual who she had to marry to make everything right. And I don't want to give too much of the movie away, but I suggest that you go watch it because it's an interesting way to look at the dynamics of family and like what embarrassment means for family, and also what people are willing to do to protect men. Because while this is about a woman's pregnancy, you quickly see the parallels between some of the issues that we talk about here on the show, but also that we talk about in life, and how the lengths that people are willing to go through to protect men's potential and to protect men's embarrassment and the things that we are willing to put women through as a consequence. But the Vancouver International Film Festival is going on until the end of the week. There are some great movies still left today, tomorrow, and Saturday. And even after the film festival is over, there are still films showing all over at International Village, Fifth Avenue Cinemas, downtown. You can just check them out on VIFF.org. There's some great opportunities to see some lesser known stories and some stories from perspectives that you might not ever have heard from. Also going on this week is the Vancouver International Improv Festival. And so the Improv Festival is a little shorter. It started yesterday and it goes until Sunday. And what the Vancouver International Improv Festival is, a collection of improvisers from all over the country, from the States. I think last year I was able to see this all-black improv troupe from Atlanta. It was really good down on Granville Island. If you get a chance, there are a lot of shows still left today, tomorrow, Saturday. So if you have a chance, go check that out. Improv is always good for your soul. And if you are a UBC student and you happen to be up at this early hour of 7 a.m., you should go check out the improv here in Neville Scarf tomorrow night at 6:30. It is where I started doing improv here in Vancouver, and the shows sell out. It's probably one of my most favorite things to have been a part of here at UBC. Also, if we had it at Ohio University, I probably would have never played football because it is that much fun. When we get back from a musical break, we're going to jump right in to some news from here, here in, I don't want to say just Vancouver, but in BC, because as you know, we are 1 week away from legalization, and I don't know what that means for you, but for some people, they need to know how to navigate it.
Maybe this is the album you listen to in your car when you're driving home late at night, really questioning every guy, religion, Kanye bitches. Maybe this is the entrance before you get to the river, a heaven before the heathen, no reason for you to like me. Maybe this your wife, he just went in a clean divorce, the baby ain't really yours, it's really for baby's teeth and the chicken wings under season. Y'all really thought a bitch couldn't rap, huh? Maybe this your answer for that, a crack era with a Reagan administration that niggas are still scared of. Nah, actually, this is for me. This one for TT at the wake, serving the mac and the cheese. This one a small apology for all the calls that I screamed. Mr. Money Man, Mr. Everyday, he got me. Mr. Wiping Me Down, Mr. Me Love, Mr. Miyagi. Miscellaneous, Mr. Molly inside my sake. Incredible, incredible emptiness in my body. Heaven's only 4 feet tall, I set my ringer to it. Fuck your rapper, homie, now his ass is making better music. My pussy teaching ninth grade English. My pussy wrote a thesis on colonialism and conversation with a marginal system in love with Jesus. And y'all still thought a bitch couldn't rap, huh? Maybe that's your answer for that. Good pussy. I know niggas only talk about money and good pussy.
Yeah, yeah. You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. This is Vancouver's radio station. Jumping right into what's going on here in Vancouver. So if you didn't know, on October 17th here in Canada, marijuana becomes legalized federally. And what does that mean for here in BC? Pretty much nothing, except for the fact that it will become more difficult to buy some of your favorite things if you're into like concentrates or vaporizers, or let's say you just recently broke your bowl and you wanted to find a new one, that might be different, particularly depending on which store you go to, because each store will have like different regulations depending on what they sell. I think that is important here in British Columbia, here particularly in Vancouver, the Lower Mainland, that we make sure that we continue to support like the people who have been fighting for this for decades. Like, it's easy, it's probably easy to easier to, you know, to see maybe some of the offerings that these big businesses are going to have. But it's important that the people, like the actual people, maintain a semblance of power in the industry. Because once, like, I look at the marijuana, weed, cannabis industry, you know, not like like probably one of the last new industries and like newish industries that we are going to have potentially probably for our lifetime. So we want to make sure that we can maintain the kind of culture that we want moving forward. And I think that that's very important. So I think that's important to think about. Also, here, if you're on UBC's campus and you like and you're listening to the show, make sure you lock your bike up because bike thieves are targeting students here. Not only do students get fresh new bikes after the summertime, but they often leave them unlocked. The police want to let you know that you are at risk. Now, I feel like bike thievery is the worst person-to-person crime here in Vancouver. Like, you don't really see too much going on. However, I have had my bike stolen, not even from a place that you would think that people steal bikes from the yacht club. It was just the most infuriating thing that's ever happened to me because I was the poorest person at the yacht club that day, and they decided to steal my bike. So I felt that that was particularly rude. Also, hiking, if you want to make sure, especially as we get later in the month, so October, November, December, it can be particularly treacherous, not only because the terrain is changing, you know, from just normal seasonal change, but it's the time. You heard the weather report. It feels nice outside, but you must remember that 800 meters, 1,200 meters up, it is a little bit different. So you need to make sure that you have the proper gear. So there was a first-time BC tourist, Michael Buckingham, who headed up the Grouse Grind on Monday, and so when he climbed up the Grouse Grind and then continued to go, ironically, off the beaten path, he ended up on a ledge and was stuck there for 15 hours. And so what he tried to do was do some circular route, but as he planned to descend, by dark, the hike took a little longer than he expected, and he was using an app. I feel like apps shouldn't be substitutes for maps, but he's using an app, and he hit a mountain edge, and he was basically stuck until the rescuers came and got him. From the view we had, it was beautiful. However, it's important to just understand that the climate is changing, and you can't always predict what it's going to look like at the top, and you need to give yourself time to come down. So there are a few things going on here in BC, particularly if you are familiar with Lululemon and the founders here in BC. We all know that Lululemon is headquartered here, and Kit Nace started off as a offshoot from the founder's son. But what we are seeing here is a split between Kit Nace and Chip Wilson, as Kit Nace is going into a new direction. I don't know which direction that Kit Nace is going to go to that's going to make them profitable. Like, I never really got behind the idea of everyday cashmere. Maybe it's just because it's out of my price range and out of the price range from almost everyone I know. It just doesn't seem something that's sustainable. Like, at least Lululemon's, I've been in a Lululemon twice. However, just never really get behind the idea of buying the pants, because that's the only really thing that I like in there is the pants. But Kit Nace is moving on from their executives. So if you are interested in becoming an executive of Kit Nace, you can take a look right now, or while they're in transition, maybe maneuver your place into the business, because there will likely be some sales. Actually, they said an article, so I'm going to go check it out. And I'll let you know next Thursday what I was able to pick up. So, there's a Vancouver police officer, Detective Constable Blake Scherzenoff, who joined the Vancouver Police Department in 2008 and was named one of the 40 best police officers under 40. Now, you know, I typically, whenever we're talking about police here on the show, it's not always the most positive news, but that's not my fault. Like, some of the police officers do non-positive shit, so sometimes I have to I bring that up because that's not right. But when a Vancouver police officer gets named 40 under 40, I mostly am interested in, like, what goes into that ranking and how do you get selected for that? So what you see is that in 2011, Scherzenoff was one of the four liaison officers at Occupy Vancouver encampment at the Vancouver Art Gallery. And he was extra sensitive to the situation and built relationships while maintaining, like, his police presence. He met people face to face and heard their concerns and worked together to try to solve some issues. Now, I feel like that's such a low bar for police officers. It's like doing your job. Like, Scherzenoff also is accredited with coordinating the installation of used needle boxes and helping community cleanups throughout the city, helping first responders on the downtown east side. He says a career in law enforcement has given me a concrete way to make a positive difference in people's lives. I chose a career where I could work with great people and make a difference. Now, like, I feel that he's 40 under 40 in the entire world. So for the world's best police officers, all he had to do was, like, be a police officer that we want all police officers to be. Now, that is great. This guy is a good police officer. But I have a hard time really feeling that, you know, I was, when I read the story at first, I'm not going to lie, I expected him to have, like, run in some buildings, not just, like, one building one time, but, like, yo, this is the guy who runs into buildings, grabs people out, you know, tackling bad guys and helping old ladies across the street. Now, he looks like the type that would help old ladies across the street. Hasn't arrested one bad guy in this story. However, but it just seems like that's such a low bar for police officers. And while I can commend this guy for doing his job and doing a great job, like, what are the other police officers striving for? Like, what do they go to work every day thinking about? Do they go and see this guy and see, like, man, this guy's, like, for us, he's a great police officer. For them, he might be terrible role model. That's not the type of example that they want to see or the type of expectations that they want to set. But, Blake, kudos to you. When we get back, we are going to go into a little bit of some national news, and we might have a special guest. So stay tuned, because that's what we do.
I've been searching for pyramids. You know my soul getting near with this. I've been searching for pyramids. Like never roll when I finish it. I've been searching for pyramids. To my soul getting near with this.
I feel it getting closer.
I've been searching for pyramids.
Pharaoh. Meditated, feel it in my spirit by the meadows. You was there for me when I was lost in the desert. Never take for granted, see my mind, I expanded and branded. Good vibes, tell it to its pinks when you pray 5 times to the east. I've been searching for the love in my city. I was roaming down King Drive, running from the belly of the beast. And they call that the low end, that's where my blood lived. I was elusive like my cousins. Is this corrupt when there's no rules? And they got knives in their shirt next to serpents that lurk. I just take it and I put that shit on Pro Tools, hoping that you gain from my losses. If I'm king, I can never be subjected to an office. And when they put me in my coffin, they can tell I had gold in the soul when they offered.
Pyramids. To my soul, getting near with this.
Feeling like too common for a mountain of no nothing, too common to a moment of go rushing, and no vultures still in their cages, and lions finding their freedom, and giants eyeing their freedom, and sirens under their sieges for underspecified reasons, for misidentified objects, for unidentified beings, if I'm being. But then I'm on the move and you know what I'm looking for. My feet fly, cover ground, I get down this way. When I'm on the move, keep focus abroad. The desert knows my name. The forest knows my name.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-UBC-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. And one of the things that we are seeing, so in the world we have like a poaching problem. And so when I think about poaching, particularly the issues, like it is so many different problems mixed into one. It's very complex because it's like an inequality problem. It is a misalignment of values problem. It is a it's like a greed problem. But here in Vancouver, what we're seeing, particularly in Vancouver Island, is timber poaching is becoming a growing problem. Timber poachers are able to, like, lay under the cover of darkness, enter Crown Land, and chop down old growth trees. Trees that are over hundreds of years old are being poached by timber thieves, sometimes just to turn a quick buck by reducing the old Douglas fir to firewood. So people are cutting down old growth trees just to turn them into firewood, as if there is not enough firewood in the, like, already in the public sphere. It's crazy. So, like, my love for trees didn't just begin, you know, with Fern Gully or with Avatar. Like, I feel, like, there's so many things that I feel personally that I'm connected to. Dogs are not one of them. But for some reason, Flora is very special to me. I feel like particularly trees, after learning... so, like, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen Avatar, but in Avatar they have that the heart tree, and it stores like all of the memories and all of the ancestors and everything. And when you think about the trees that we have here, trees basically turn dead shit into trees, you know, like that. And trees are such complex beings that they have the ability to, like, send nutrients through roots to other trees. So if they send nutrients through roots, that means that trees have basically have the ability to communicate that they need nutrients. And so they're able to ask for them and able to receive them. And it's just this whole tree communication underground that goes on. So trees, we know trees are alive, but trees are more alive than we like to think. And so thinking about how people have, like, could you imagine like going into the woods by yourself or maybe with a buddy and just going to cut down some trees and so you can turn into firewood, knowing that these trees are protected and knowing that people, knowing that this isn't your forest, like this forest belongs to everybody. I think that is one of the most backwards ass ideals that we have created for ourselves. Ones that, if you've ever seen that Christopher Columbus quote, you know, talking about basically what possession means and what possession meant to the natives here and what possession means to Europeans. It's like this idea that this forest or that these trees belongs to me because I can, I have the ability to cut it down and I have the power or strength, you know, whereas the idea that this tree belongs to all of us and everybody and going down and cutting the trees for your own personal gain is the same as going down and killing whales or elephants or anything for your own personal gain. It seems just backwards, particularly when it's not necessary. Like, I could see if we needed these trees for shelter or if we needed them for the greater good of humanity, but we don't. That's not how we use them. That's not how these people are using them. And listen, I'm not going to approach anybody with a chainsaw or a axe, especially in the woods. But maybe if you are a ethical hiker, you should maybe carry some type of protection, because I assume like the poachers in like that operate in other parts of the world, these people are dangerous and will do anything not to get caught. So you need to make sure that you are protected. Moving on to some more interesting news, particularly in south of the border. So this entire, I say for the past 2 years, you know, we have really talked about Me Too and what does that movement, like, what has that movement done and what does it look like and what does it mean for people and how we move forward? And so this week, as Brett Kavanaugh has been, has been, I can't remember the word. Oh, confirmed. I'm an idiot. Has been confirmed as a Supreme Court justice, the last one. President Donald Trump apologized on the behalf of our nation. I want to apologize to Brett and the entire Kavanaugh family for the terrible pain and suffering you have been forced to endure. Now, they use these words so deliberately because I don't know why this man is apologizing for me, because I could give a F less about Brett Kavanaugh. Not only could I give a F less, I believe they're so, like, making sure he was the political, he was the nominee and he was confirmed is so terrible. As we have a nation who, I would say not even a nation, that we have a lot of people here who have a problem, not based around this man's politics, which is already something that is already something that people had an issue with, but based on the fact that this man was, I don't want to just say accused, but he was He had a history of over drinking. Like, he's just like not good. Like, they could have selected anybody else. You know, his accuser came forward, testified, not only his accuser, but other individuals have come forward and testified on the behalf of this man's character, and he's still appointed to the Supreme Court of the United States of America, just like the highest court in the land of our country. And I mean, not say our country, but in the United States. And so when, particularly, I think this lends to a larger discussion when talking about why women don't come forward when it happens to sexual assault, whether it happened 3 days ago, 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 3 years ago, or 30 years ago, which that, like, what is the benefit for a woman coming forward, particularly when most of the time the men just go scot-free. So, and only thing that the woman is left with is an opportunity to be embarrassed while knowing that nothing is going to happen to her perpetrator. I don't think that this sends a very good message, not only to the women of the women and the victims of sexual assault, but also to men and young boys who believe that as you go through college and you do wild shit and you overdrink and you sexually assault women and you really put yourself in a position where you feel invincible, that there really are no consequences if you're old, rich, and white, because it seems that there are never any consequences, as shown here, is that, like, you can still be elected not only to president, like, but to the Supreme Court justice. Now, when Donald Trump became president, there was already this feeling that we as a people had elected this individual with these moral failings of that we would have never expected someone to have, you know, and become the leader of the United States of America. And so I believe in my mind that the only place where I would believe that the person would need more ethics and stronger morals would be on the Supreme Court. And what we have just seen is that none of that shit matters. Also, I really feel like this is the time where we can look back at Barack Obama's presidency and really understand that, like, hey, maybe this guy just didn't do everything that he was supposed to do, or everything that he could, or everything within his power to make sure that, you know, he left the nation better off than he found it. Because Merrick Garland should have been a Supreme Court justice in 2016. Should have been, like, the way that we saw Brett Kavanaugh forced through is the way that, I mean, if Barack Obama really wanted to have Merrick Garland on, the way that he should have did it. I mean, I'm sure it's more complex than that. And if somebody wants to call in and let me know, I'm willing to listen. But I believe that, in 2008, we picked up from George W. Bush. And then somehow 8 years later, it feels like, we got left with Donald Trump. Like, I read particularly a lot of old world history. And so the only way to measure a emperor and whether they were good or not is to see if they left the empire better off than when they found it. So not only is that better off than when they found it, but also that the successor is well positioned to continue on that success. And what we have seen is that, while the country improved under Barack Obama, what's happening after is absolutely terrible. And I feel like that can't be taken, it can't be removed from how we think about Barack Obama. I don't know. Like, it's either, because I'm always conflicted, because while I understand that he is also an imperial leader, he's kind of feels like the Democratic Party kind of feels like a LeBron, feel like the LeBron-less Cavaliers after he left. Like, okay, like, what do they have? And now that this person who's seemingly not only carrying the charisma of the party, but also seems to be the policies of the party, like the what to focus on. He seemed to be the entire team, and now they're even calling him back because he's still the most captivating individual in the Democratic Party, even though he is no longer a candidate. So we'll see what the future entails, but make sure that you get out and vote in these midterms, because, I mean, it doesn't really matter anymore over the Supreme Court, but for over the next 2 years, it is going to be increasingly important to make sure that it does, like, things don't get worse, because while it's bad now, I think that they can always get worse. Like, I saw a story yesterday talking about how kids who had been under care of their parents, and then when their parents were deported, the kids were taken to detention centers, and now those kids are starting to be abducted. Well, they say adopted, but abducted by families here in the States. And so the fear was that these kids would never see their parents again, and that is coming to bear fruit as a legitimate fear. There's a story on NPR this morning about a man who lost his wallet, and when the police called and showed and said that they found his wallet, and he showed up to get it, and they arrested and deported him, like a man who had been here 18 years, a man legally married to a United States citizen, a man who is in progress of getting his own citizenship. They just shipped him off to Argentina without any pretense. And it's so crazy that, you know, our tax dollars are being spent on stings of wallet thieves to try to deport regular-ass people who are just trying to go to work, who are just trying to work here and trying to make a better life here. And we're shipping these people off, not only shipping these people off, but keeping their kids. It's really some sick way to battle against, you know, a certain demographic's decline in birth rates, you know, to steal their kids and for themselves, which is borderline on a conspiracy theory, but I mean, those things are factual. Birth rates are declining in some groups and negative in lots of groups, and negative in one particular group, and they need a way to bolster the numbers because they are losing right now. It's just very sick. It's just very sick. When we get back, there are some quick stories we are going to talk about. But just because they're quick doesn't mean they're not important. And as we go into the weekend, these are the stories that you will want to talk about with your friends.
When I come through, you'll only catch me once, cause I'm a bloomer. They like, oh my god, there he go. What is that? Never seen that before. No, this two seater push ain't got no room. You'll only see it once, cause I'm a bloomer. They like, oh my god, there he go. What is that? Never seen that before. No, it's a bird, it's a plane, no escape. Put on my gold, cause yeah, I feel myself today. I'm supreme, check it supreme. Real leather, tag on the zipper. You see the price, trendsetter. At the loudest, pour the Jameson with cream.
the rules. You call the shots, you run the show. No, you don't, just hold the door. Beach house, I'm poolside. But sweet teas, Fenty's, and Dolce Gabbana, no small talk. De forte, de base, I will say. Don't ask them, porque hotel with damsels. She take off a Chanel, her man call. Oh well, I ain't here for that long. So come take off this tango, hotel, just now. You'll only catch me once when I come through. You'll only catch me once, cause I'm a bloomer. They like, oh my God, there he go. What is that? Never seen that before. No, this two-seater Porsche ain't got no room. You'll only see it once, cause I'm a bloomer. They like, oh my God, there he go. What is that? Never seen that before. No, I don't sing blues, brother. Couldn't wear Ray-Bans. I like Cartiers, you see right through the lens. You'll probably see me lowering my lens. Bring all the sweet teas on the ends. I'm no jockey, but I still be on that Porsche. No saddle when you see me push that horse. Speed that rodeo when the gears get put in sport. They like, who that is, this kid from the north. This thing I thought to come out, she was blessed. But she killed my vibe, so she got left. Why would I waste my time to sit and chat? You must not seen this pep in my step. Suck these on my body like I'm Corleone. The world is mine, I just might be Tony though. Fish scales on my neck, it's the herringbone. I'm something you never ever seen before. You'll only catch me once when I come through. You'll only catch me once, cause I'm a bloomer. They like, oh my God, there he go. What is that? Never seen that before. No, this two-seater Porsche ain't got no room. You'll only see it once, cause I'm a bloomer. They like, oh my God, there he go. What is that? Never seen that before.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITRs.ca. If you like the music here, you can follow the playlist on Spotify, Off the Beaten Path. This is October. We do one every month here. Also, if you like the music, you can listen to Crimes and Treasons on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. Me, Relly Rels, Jamal Steeles, Horsepower, Malik, and Homeboy Jules. It's every Tuesday from 8 to 10, playing the hottest hip-hop in Vancouver for the last 15 years. And if you are really inclined, not even really inclined, what you should really do is check out The Curry Shop on First We Feast. It is a new show on Complex. .com, hosted by Crimes and Treason's own Horsepower. What she has been doing is incredible. So the first episode came out this week with comedian Joe Coy, where they explored Filipino curry. Maybe next week we'll have Horsepower on to talk a little bit about what she has been doing with this project and what curry means to her personally. I think it's interesting because, you know, as you think about curries, like in curries all over the world, I'm Jamaican, and curry chicken is definitely different than Indian chicken curry. And like what curry chicken means to me is curry chicken holds a very special place in my heart for many reasons. It will be good for you to learn something. Also, you'll find some new spots if you live in the New York area, new spots to go to. And if you see her out in the streets, do not say hi, because everybody likes a little acknowledgement for the good things that they do. So as Halloween comes up, there's some shit that I find particularly scary. I do not do so well in haunted houses. I'm the person who hides behind my girl when I go to haunted houses, because I feel like as a little kid, I was the type of person who used to get pushed from behind. And, you know, I try to make sure that that doesn't happen to me. And that would be good because in this haunted house in Nashville, a man was really stabbed as a employee gave one of the, like, as they, you know, this is one of those haunted houses where they chase people around through the maze with chainsaws and knives and masks and, you know, all types of crazy stuff. And an employee handed one of the patrons a knife and told her to stab his friend. And when she did, he got really stabbed. That's like my worst nightmare. I remember when I was, I believe I was in the second grade. I say I remember, but I feel like the story was probably told to me. And going through one of those haunted houses on GDS's campus, Georgetown Day, very different than Georgetown Prep, F. Brett Kavanaugh. And they had one of those people who was chasing around individuals with the chainsaw without the chain on it. And as I was a second grader and I was not faster than this grown man, he put the chainsaw on my back and I pissed my pants. I do not blame myself for peeing my pants, as this grown man should have known better than to touch a 7-year-old with a chainsaw. But he didn't, and he got cussed out by my mother. So that's that. Also, 2 Chainz announces that he's going to open up a haunted pink trap house in Atlanta. And I probably feel like that would probably be pretty legit. So many scary things that can happen in a trap house in real life. I can only imagine what type of stuff that 2 Chainz is going to bring to this fake one. So also scary, another scary situation, which you, me, maybe you might not find yourself in, but me might find myself in, as I babysit, and I used to do it more often, but I still coach now, so it's considered babysitting. However, in Georgia, a black youth mentor was babysitting the kids of his white family friends, and after he had taken them to Walmart, a white lady who was in the parking lot, not minding her own business, called the police on him. She reported his license plate number and tried to like whisper to the kids, do they need help? And followed him in her car for almost an hour and basically waited until the police showed up. And when the police showed up, they called the parents, and the parents were like, you know, is this an instance of BAB, which is babysitting while black? And the police officers had to say, yes, it was, because the woman followed him. Now, this is like a string of incidents where white women are calling the police on black people doing some mundane things. And it has culminated in the police officer who walked into that Dallas apartment, that man's Dallas apartment, and shot and killed him. So, like, my question is, like, what was this lady supposed to be doing for this hour besides bothering this man? And did she feel like that she got her hour's worth of money? Because she really just unnecessarily caused issues for everybody involved. Because I'm 100% sure that the police officers could have been doing something else with their time. Before we go, you know, I lived in Cleveland for about 5 years, and when Tamir Rice was killed, it was like right in the middle of my Cleveland stay, right? It was one of the catalysts that really caused me to question whether this is a place I wanted to live long term. And so Timothy Loneham, the police officer who fatally shot Tamir Rice, who was actually on his second chance. He was on his second chance when he was put in Cleveland as a police officer on the West Side. He has now been given a third chance to be a police officer in Bel Air, which is a Southeast Ohio rural community of only 4,000 people. I mean, can't they find this man another job than a job where he can get a gun? Like, I feel like it's so absolutely terrible and disingenuous for them to continue to allow these people to become police officers, particularly when you see here in Vancouver what a 40 under 40 police officer looks like. They're not even trying, and I'm sure that they can probably, or maybe hopefully, get something new. But thank you for being with me for the hour. We do this every Thursday, 7 to 8. If you want to listen on Crimes and Treasons, that's 8 to 10 every Tuesday. If you missed any of the episode, you can find it on mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath or on facebook.com/otbp20xx. I'm working on a website. I say it out loud because I want you guys to hold me accountable. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend.